How about the cheese?
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the fifth episode of Lost in the Sauce, Kansas City podcast. My name is Wesley Roche, and I'm joined by my fellow Chiefs Wire writers and Lost in the Sauce co-hosts, Charlie Goldman and Jack Dillon. We're going to talk some Chiefs here, and soon we're going to get Joe Yearby, the running back out of Miami, on the show. Looking forward to having him on the show. But first, I wanted to talk a little Chiefs. The first thing I wanted to discuss was Football Outsiders, which is a site that I frequent, regularly. They have some like really good stuff. They release their projections, and they projected each team's record for the 2017 season, and they projected the Chiefs to finish 8-8 in 2017, which I thought was a curious record there. They projected the Oakland Raiders. I'm pretty sure they projected the Raiders to finish 9-7 and to win the division, and they predicted the Chiefs to go in the playoffs at the wild card spot at 8-8. So, guys, what do you think about that 8-8 spot and the Raiders winning the division in the AFC West?
I think that prediction is fair. I think, you know, the Chiefs the past several years have maintained a big competitiveness. I don't know that their off-season losses or, you know, we haven't had the draft yet. I don't know that you can really, you know, warrant rating them any lower or higher than 500. I mean, I think it's definitely, it's fair.
Yeah, I'm with Charlie on this one. I think that we've got to wait until we see what the Chiefs draft class looks like, you know, because if it's a total flop, you know, and other teams get better and the Chiefs kind of stay the same in terms of like roster talent, I think the Chiefs could end up 8-8. You know, but at the moment, I don't think that they are 8-8 material. I think that they're still a playoff team. And I think that, you know, even the guys like Gavin Escobar, you know, could come in and make an impact and potentially push him to the next level, you know, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, I think 8-8 technically is fair for the Chiefs, just because, you know, they have a much tougher schedule going into 2017 than they did last year. But at the same time, I'm not necessarily sure, even if they, you know, didn't have this 2017 draft, I don't think they're necessarily would stay the same, because you know how many injuries they had. I mean, they're going to be returning, hopefully, if they're healthy, they're going to be returning, you know, Derek Johnson, Allen Bailey, Jay Howard. I mean, they're going to be returning several starters on the defense. And so to me right there, the run defense is going to improve. And, you know, everybody's blowing up about Jamaal Charles leaving, and they're like, oh, Jamaal Charles is leaving, you know, the Chiefs are not going to be as good. But he hasn't played for the team in 2 years, like, hardly. So not like he really hasn't been that much of a difference. So with the draft coming up, I can't see how the Chiefs wouldn't improve at least some way. Even if they get like one impact guy, you know, on offense or defense, it's at least going to be, you know, enough of an impact to, you know, put them over the top and make them to where they can at least win 10 games, in my opinion. But like I said, you know, the schedule is going to be a little more tougher. So, you know, who knows?
So, I mean, I think that the real trick is to not move backwards. All right. Even if you say stay status quo in our division, it's going to be good, because, you know, everyone else is going to be at least status quo or better. You know, I think the Chargers have potential to get better this year. I think that the Raiders, if they can improve their defense, they have potential to get better this year. The Broncos, they can't really do much worse than they did last year with the talent they have on their roster. So I don't see the Chiefs, you know, performing any worse than 8-8 unless they start moving backwards. They start, you know, losing the wrong guys in free agency. They start you know, drafting duds. They start, you know, signing free agents who make, you know, little to no impact. Whatever it is, you got to get better. And I've seen no indication so far that the Chiefs haven't been getting better. I'm sure that, like you were saying, Wes, the Jamaal Charles loss, I mean, it hurts from an emotional standpoint. It hurts, you know, I'm sure some of the guys in the locker room, he was, you know, someone they looked up to and a leader for the team. But at the same time, you know, he hasn't played in 2 years. So that's not going to be a loss that affects us. Like you said, we're returning defensive linemen. So losing Dontari Poe, will that hurt us? That remains to be seen. We signed a guy like Benny Logan to potentially replace some of that production there. Maybe not all of it, but, you know, we're trying to make strides to be better. And I think that's clear. So, yeah, 8-8's fair. I'd probably project them higher myself, but I'm also, you know, someone who's a strong believer in the team.
Yeah, I mean, we're all obviously biased, so we're gonna be leaning towards a, you know, a more positive record for the Chiefs. But I mean, I do believe that 10 wins isn't out of the question, even with a tough schedule. I mean, you know, the Chiefs were a Super Bowl caliber team last year, so if they can't put together 10 wins against a tough schedule, then they're, you know, they have no business being in the playoffs, because, you know, if you can't defeat playoff caliber teams in the regular season, then you're not going to be able to do it in the playoffs. So
what concerns me at this point is still the running back position. You know, Spencer Ware had like 4 touchdowns last year. You know, wasn't a 1,000-yard, you know, runner. He, you know, I think that last year he proved that he fits a more complementary role. You know, and I'm not sure that Alex Smith can lead a team past, you know, the conference championship without, you know, someone who can really carry the rock and be really efficient, you know, both running and receiving. You know, and that's something that these other AFC West teams you know are getting. You know, now the Chargers have Melvin Gordon, you know, the Raiders look like they're about to get you know, beast mode, and then, you know, the Broncos don't really have a guy, but they've got talent, you know, on defense that wins them games
for sure. And I mean, they projected the Broncos and the Chargers to be low. I mean, they didn't project them to be even playoff contenders, so, you know, it kind of makes me wonder. Honestly, I'm kind of right there with him. I think the Broncos and Chargers will kind of be those middle of the road teams next year. I think the Chargers might be a little better than we give them credit for, but they still got a lot of issues going on. But to me, this division, the AFC West, it's still the division between the Chiefs and the Raiders, and it's going to be like that for quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing for the Broncos and the Chargers, they got to be looking for quarterback of the future as well, in the same light as the Chiefs are. Phillip Rivers is getting up there in age for the Chargers. The Broncos, they think they have something in Trevor Siemian. Remains to be seen. Paxton Lynch hasn't really shown anything so far, but maybe he's the guy. They just don't really seem to know over there yet. Because of that, they don't really have much of an identity. As far as the Broncos are concerned, they've got some stuff to work through. And, you know, the Chargers, a move for a team, I mean, so far, we haven't really seen a team where they move cities and they're immediately great. So, I don't know. That could be a big struggle for them. Maybe that sets them back some, too. That I'm not sure of.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility that becomes kind of a big distraction for them. But we'll see, kind of going into the 2017 season, we'll see how it goes. But as we talk a little bit more Chiefs before we get Joe Yerby on the show, the Chiefs have been working out quite a few college basketball players lately. They worked out Mo Alie-Cox from VCU, DJ Johnson from K-State, and Nigel Young from Texas Wesleyan. And obviously those guys are, you know, projected to be tight ends if they can make it into the NFL. Oh, what do you think about the Chiefs, you know, working out all these tight ends? I mean, they seem to be really working to find new tight ends, you know, with the signing of Gavin Escobar and, you know, the guys that are working out. Maybe they're going to be a little more interested in the tight end position in this draft more than we thought. Who knows?
I think it's less of a you know, them looking at the tight end position in this draft and more so looking at developmental prospects from basketball programs. I mean, they've seen success. I mean, since Tony Gonzalez, you know, Demetrius Harris is on our roster. He was a former basketball player. You know, look at Ross Travis, who they're developing right now. He's a basketball player. So there's that commonality among the Chiefs as far as developmental guys are concerned. So I think it's showing that they're really committing to, hey, basketball players are where we make our money at the tight end position. Let's explore those options. Because one of those guys could be the next Tony G. One of those guys could come in and develop right away and be an extreme complement to Travis Kelce, who, by the way, also has played some basketball in his lifetime. you know, I believe he played it in high school. And, you know, I know he still plays a couple pickup games every now and again. But, yeah, so it's, you know, it's a good type of transition from you know, playing basketball to the tight end position. You have good ball skills. You know, the physicality of some of these bigger guys that end up transitioning to a tight end. It's top notch. So, you know, they can develop as blockers. I think that it's good to explore all these different options as far as the draft is concerned. I mean, it just goes to show again that John Dorsey is ready, willing, and able to go in there and uncover these different gems that may be out there and available to the team.
Yeah, I mean, not to mention Mo Alie-Cox, especially his size. I mean, at 6'6" and, you know, 250 pounds, and he's got, you know, 11 1/8 inch hands. I mean, if that dude can't become a monster blocker in the NFL and maybe pass catcher, then I don't know. I mean, the dude has the right size and tools. So I'm intrigued to see if he makes it into the NFL, whether it's for the Chiefs or with another team.
I think there were 7 or 8 teams that were at his workout, and then, you know, maybe 3 or 4 teams after that brought him in for private workouts. So, I mean, he could be a guy. He's not in the draft. He actually would have been in last year's draft. So he can sign as a free agent right now. So he could be a guy that signs, you know, the next day or so, or he could be a guy who, you know, just gets invited into training camp with some team and, you know, ends up making the practice squad. It really just depends on how far along he is, and what team's seeing him.
For sure. So moving on to our last thing before we get Joe Yerby on the show, we'll talk about the Chiefs' preseason schedule, which was just released on Monday. The Chiefs have week 1, the San Francisco 49ers. Week 2, they'll be taking on Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati. Week 3, they'll be at Seattle. And week 4, they'll be facing the Titans for the 4th preseason game. It's worth noting that the 3rd preseason game, which is, you know, often the best, where they play the most starters, the most exciting, they'll be playing the Seahawks on primetime on CBS. So we don't know the times for the other games yet, but, you know, it's as exciting as preseason's going to get. We'll take, you know, whatever football we can at this point. But for one, I'm glad to see that we're playing a team of the Seahawks caliber in that week 3 game. It's like you get a good challenge right away from a, you know, deep, good team in week 3 of the preseason.
Yeah, I actually saw the preseason game live. I don't know if it was last year or the year before when they played the Seahawks in KC, and that was a fun game. You know, as fun as I guess a preseason game could be. But yeah, you always want to go against good teams, deep teams that you might have to play later down the line in the preseason, because it kind of gets your guys ready. Even those depth players who, you know, may be on the practice squad, may get called up later in the year. Hitting those teams up early is good. You know, the 49ers, that first game, kind of a soft target. That's a good one there to go against for that first game. You know, they've got a new coach. They're going to be, you know, playing their first game with that coach. So that's kind of a good start for them. And then you go up against an AFC contender every year, the Bengals. And you're playing in their house. That's a good second game right there. They're a deep team as well. And then the Seahawks, like you said, in that third game, that's a great, great matchup.
This is actually the third year in a row that we've faced the Seahawks in the preseason. So I don't know if there's like a, if there's just a randomness to that, or if there's actually like a theme there as far as like, maybe we're going to be facing the Seahawks more. I mean, we're definitely not going to be playing the Rams anymore now that they're in Los Angeles. We did play them last year, but yeah, they don't seem to be on the schedule this year. So the Chiefs-Rams rivalry is officially dead.
Yeah, you never know. They may essentially be the team that comes in and replaces that rivalry. I mean, we've played them a lot in the in the past few years there. So they've been some pretty dang good games. I know the recent season, what was it, 2014? The Chiefs didn't go to the playoffs, but they beat the Seahawks, who I think didn't they go on to win the Super Bowl that year? I believe so. And that was a hell of a game. I think we won 24-14, 24-21, something like that.
That was the year that the Chiefs beat both of the Super Bowl teams in the regular season but didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So now that we've gone over a little bit of Chiefs, we're going to bring on Joe Yerby on the show. He's a former Miami Hurricanes running back who played high school in Miami, and he decided to stay in Miami for college. He jumped in right away as a freshman, racking up over 500 yards in his first season and a touchdown, and then he won the starting gig his sophomore year, and he racked up about over 1,000 yards and 8 total touchdowns in his second year, and then capped off his junior year by getting 7 touchdowns. And now he has decided to enter the NFL draft as a potential day 3 prospect, and as a guy that we believe can, you know, possibly be a underrated prospect for the Chiefs. So we have Joe Yerby on the show now, Miami Hurricanes running back. Thank you so much for coming on to the show today. I really appreciate you coming on. I just wanted to ask, you know, what's it like knowing that you're two weeks away from your life changing and you being, you know, possibly being one of the few that, you know, get the opportunity to play in the National Football League?
Like, making it to the next level is a blessing. So being that it's 2 weeks away, I'm extremely blessed. I'm just being humble as the process continues. Like I said, I'm blessed.
Awesome. Well, obviously, you know, as a player, you're going to be thankful for wherever team you go. But I was kind of curious if there's any, like, teams in the back of your mind that maybe, you know, you're holding out hope for, or just, like, any childhood favorites. I know that you're from the Miami area, so what would it be like for you, like, say, if the Miami Dolphins called your name on, you know, during draft day?
That's an awesome feeling right there. Actually, Miami, is one of my favorite teams from my childhood memories I can think of right now.
Well, first and foremost, you know, we're a Kansas City Chiefs podcast, so, you know, we emphasize on the Chiefs. So I was kind of curious, have you spoken with any, like, Chiefs reps at all, or has the team reached out to you at all?
I talked to them.
That's great that the Chiefs have reached out to you, so they have shown some interest. Was kind of curious, what would it be like for you to, you know, to potentially play under a coach of the caliber of Andy Reid?
It would be a great feeling, because both of them are great coaches, and they want players on their team that can win, that want to win.
Absolutely, man. Hey, Charlie Goldman here. I'm going to jump in and ask you a question here. So a big storyline this offseason for us here at the Chiefs Wire and for Chiefs fans has been that the team has been interviewing quarterbacks. We know that your quarterback, Brad Kaya, is in the draft this year. So could you tell us a little bit about your teammate and the type of player and leader he is?
I'm going to start with off the field first. Off the field, he's a great guy off the field. Anything that you need or anything that you have a trouble with, Brad is there to help you. He's a very smart kid, very understandable, respectful, and all that transferred on the field too. Very hard worker, smart kid. I feel like he's better than me, honestly.
So I have another question for you here. I was actually wondering, you know, the Chiefs just recently released Jamaal Charles, who's our franchise leading running back. as far as rushing yards and whatnot. And, you know, one of the great things that he did for us, he was a big pass blocker and pass protection, and he's great catching the football. So I was hoping you could speak on those elements of your game and whether or not you think you could maybe fill a need there for KC.
I feel like I could fill the need there for KC because, like you said, running backs, the first thing is holding the football, that's number one. Then blocking and then catching the ball. And then I think running come last because you got to do other jobs in order to make your job complete. So I feel like that what makes me so, I think, good at it because I really want to put the team first before I put myself.
This is Jack here. So I was wondering, what do you do better than any of the other running backs in this class?
I don't say I do such things as better than other running backs in this class. I think I do certain things different than running backs. I say that because my game could be different than another running back game, but we could be totally equal. So I feel like all the running backs have their own different ways in this draft.
So watching your film, you know, I mean, you've got that nasty juke move. Where did you learn, like, how to do that?
Actually, when I was little, and literally, I used to watch Raheem Cato. He was our quarterback on the park. And that was his favorite move, and I always wanted to learn that move, and I used to practice it. So that's how I got good at it.
Last question from me. Who do you model your game after? I haven't seen any of the running backs, you know, in the past 3 or 4 years, you know, have a kind of similar style to yours. So I just wanted to ask, you know, what pro running backs do you look up to as, you know, that's what I want to be.
I can see, I look up to Jamaal Charles, like I just mentioned, LeSean McCoy. One of my favorite running backs is Adrian Foster, Adrian Peterson. You know, some of the top guys that really put the team on their back when it's time to.
Joe, this is Wes here again, jumping back in. I noticed that whenever you played for Miami, there was kind of a coaching change, you know, from your sophomore to junior year. How did you kind of handle that, and how do you think you'll be able to handle like the transition from, you know, college to NFL under a new coaching staff and under like a different set of rules and stuff?
When I had Al Golden, being though Mark Rick came in. I feel like I adjusted pretty good to it because Marie came in with the same mindset as Al Golden, that he wanted to win and that we had to follow certain rules in order to make the team right. And I feel like going into the next level, I feel like Marie and Coach Golden actually prepared me for that, going into the next level.
Gotcha. Well, that sounds good. Well, I'd like to thank you again for coming on to the show, and I really appreciate you having, and I hope your name gets called on draft day. I'd like to see you play for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, you know, we're pretty big fans of you, so hopefully you'll be in KC one day, but either way, good luck on draft day, you know, no matter where you go.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Yep, thanks.
No problem.
That was Joe Yearby, running back out of the University of Miami that you just heard from. You can check out some of his game film on YouTube. He's got a little bit up there. He's a pretty intriguing prospect, so I definitely give it a look, see if you have the chance. Look for his name to be called on day 3 of the draft, most likely. If you're interested in any other draft stuff, especially with the Chiefs emphasis, definitely check out Chiefs Wire. Me, Charlie, and Jack have some good stuff going on there, like always. Follow us on Twitter. Let us know what you think about our Chiefs Wire stuff. Let us know what you think about the show. You can follow Charlie at Funderpunt. You can follow Jack at the John Dillon, and of course, you can always follow me at Wesley Roche. Otherwise, we'll have another episode up for you guys pretty soon. Thank you guys, as always, for listening.